For many years, Sunday was one of the hardest days of the week for me. I was a mom with a lot of little kids. I felt like all I did was wrestle toddlers and babies and deal with problems and crises and put out fires all along the way. And somehow I was supposed to be resting on this day as well. Well, I'll tell you what, a few years ago, I changed how I saw Sundays because I saw in Scripture what my rest was really supposed to be like, and I'd like to share that with you today. Hello, friends. Welcome to the Raising Arrows podcast. I'm Amy Roberts from RaisingArrows.net, and this is episode number 159, Changing How We See Sundays. I'm going to give you a little bit of background on where I came from with Sundays and then some of the different things I tried over the years and then the catalyst that changed things for me when it came to Sunday and finding a true Sabbath rest. So I was raised Methodist. For those of you who have ever wondered, I make references occasionally to my upbringing in the church, but I was raised Methodist, and I don't remember there really being a lot of talk about Sabbath or a day of rest in that particular denomination. We went to church on Sunday. I remember my dad often didn't go out to the field until later on Sunday. We usually had a big Sunday meal, and we did do less on Sunday. But occasionally, we went out to eat as well on Sunday. So there wasn't really this blue law that said, you know, we couldn't go out on Sunday and eat. There were some places open, and we did do some things on Sunday as a family. A lot of places when I was younger weren't open. A lot of stores weren't open. I do remember there were a couple of restaurants in town that were open, and so that's where everybody went on Sunday, and you always wanted to beat the Christian church to the restaurant, else you weren't going to get a seat. So it was just kind of a funny thing, but it wasn't like a rule. I don't remember a lot of discussion about not working on Sundays. And some of that was because I grew up in an era and a culture where, again, things weren't open, and so you almost naturally didn't do as much on Sundays because there wasn't as much to do. But I don't remember like physically trying to hang out in my house and do nothing but rest and sleep. However, the denomination I was in when I became a follower of Christ in my early 20s was a Nazarene church, and there was a culture of not doing any work on Sundays there. And I tried my best to not work on Sundays. I tried to take naps and such and not do very much and not try to cook. But I found that I had little kids and I was busy with them and it didn't really feel restful. And we also liked to have people over on Sunday. So oftentimes we were having a meal together. Now I tried to prepare it the day before, but a lot of times, you know, there was some sort of work that had to be done on Sunday, but I didn't mind because we were sharing a meal with other people from the church and we were having a wonderful time of fellowship, and so I didn't feel real bad about it. Then the next place we lived, we were actually part of a home church. And there was a mishmash of people from all walks of life in this home church. And this is where I was probably first introduced to the concept of really not doing much of anything in the way of work on Sundays. Some people there were able to manage that, and others were striving toward that. And then there was me, who always felt like I was burdened by the idea of trying to rest on Sundays. I had a very high needs child at that time, and I spent most of my Sunday mornings out in the lobby with her, just trying to keep her from having a meltdown during the service. So I spent a lot of time not even in the church service, and I was very frustrated by not being able to go into the church service, not being able to have my Sabbath rest, not being able to worship like everybody else. I was so incredibly frustrated by this season in my life that I felt some bitterness creeping in. I could not for the life of me understand how in the world I was supposed to take a rest. Nobody was giving me a rest. What in the world was I supposed to do? This just didn't seem fair. And why would God put this in the Bible and then make it impossible for me? And yes, listening to myself say these things, I felt whiny at the time. I felt like I must be doing something wrong. You could look at my search history on the internet from back then, and you would see that I was searching for ways to have a restful Sunday. I was trying to come up with a formula that would work. I was trying to figure out how I could make the food the day before, but I was really busy the day before too. And how could I get everybody down for a nap at the same time so that maybe I could lay down too? And how could I come up with toys and games and coloring books and things like that would be just for Sunday so that they would be quiet and things would be calm. Surely there was a formula. Surely there was something I could do. Surely I was actually doing something wrong, that I wasn't seeming to find this magic formula in order to have this very restful Sabbath. I even thought maybe it's because I'm taking the wrong day. Maybe it's actually supposed to be Saturday. So I kind of ran with that for a while. You know, Saturday is Sabbath, Sunday is Lord's Day, and I will just quit trying to make Sundays restful because we're running and gunning on Sundays, trying to get to church, trying to get everybody ready, trying to eat something once we come back from church. So maybe if I changed it up. Well, then I kind of, you know, swung the pendulum way too far the other way, and I started looking into Sabbath keeping the way that the Jewish people were keeping it. And perhaps we need to have like a Shabbat meal on Friday night. Well, I was just adding to my work. Okay, we're going to work so that we can rest. So I'm going to spend all day Friday working so that on Friday night through Saturday night, I can rest somehow. Except guess what? I still had little kids. I was still busy. It was still exhausting. And I still didn't feel like I was getting any sort of rest from all of this. Then a few years ago, we moved again. And we started going to a different church, obviously, because we were in a different town. And I remember there was a pastor there at the time. He's not there anymore. But there was a pastor there at the time who preached on the Sabbath. He was preaching through Mark. And he got to Mark 2. And I was so excited to see that this was going to be the sermon series was about the Sabbath, because I thought, finally, somebody is going to tell me how to do this. Finally, somebody's going to address the Sabbath from a place that will make sense. He's got a wife and kids, so maybe he can address this from their point of view. Maybe even she will have some insight for him in the sermon, where as a pastor's wife, she's also probably not resting on Sunday. So I was very, very excited about this. And I'll tell you what, I was expecting a formula, and I was expecting a to-do list, and I was expecting to go home and start implementing these practices. And, you know, I was going to start really making a concerted effort to cook on Saturday so that Sunday would be restful. But I came home from that sermon totally refreshed, totally renewed, and just a completely different outlook on Sunday, on Sabbath itself, whatever day I would choose it to be. I had a totally different outlook. And so that is what I want to share with you today, because this literally changed my life. It changed my relationship with the Lord as well, because this is not just about a day of the week. In fact, I venture to say it's not at all about a day of the week. It's not about Saturday. It's not about Sunday. It's not about any day of the week in particular. This is about Jesus. And you need to lean into that, especially as a busy homemaking mother, wife, who may be feeling burdened by the idea of resting the way that so many cultures throughout the ages have prescribed, because they also had it wrong. And I almost hesitate to say that, because we've been reading through the Little House on the Prairie books, and there was a place in there that I can remember the last time I read through the Little House on the Prairie books thinking, oh, there's the formula. I cannot remember which one it was. It might have been actually Little House on the Prairie, or it was Little House in the Big Woods. But they are having their Sabbath rest, and they are to play very quietly, and they weren't really allowed to do much of anything. And, you know, Laura is basically really bothered by this, and she does not understand it. And back when I read through this series the first time, I can distinctly remember thinking, oh, this is what it should look like. And I think I even tried it. This time, however, because I have changed how I see Sundays, we're sitting there, I'm reading through it, and my children are like, Mom, why did they do that? Why did they make Sundays so miserable? And I suddenly was like, wait a second, I have a totally different view of this now. And I was able to share with them many of the things I'm going to share with you today. And it makes so much more sense. And one reason I hesitate to say anything against that culture, against the Puritans, is because, you know, you think, well, these were the pillars of sainthood. These were the amazing forefathers of our country, of our faith. You know, surely they got it right. I don't think they did. I think they took the Sabbath and made it into a set of rules, very much like the Pharisees had been doing. And when you look at scripture, you will see that coming at the Sabbath from that viewpoint, seeing your Sabbath rest as this set of rules, is actually very burdensome. And that is not at all what Christ was preaching in the New Testament. And so I want to dive into this today and hopefully help you to see this as a blessing and not a burden, and to really understand how Sundays should be as stay-at-home moms, as large family moms, as homeschooling moms. So let's dive in. Now, I try not to make it a rule here on this podcast that I am expounding on scripture much. I do like to bring scripture in, but I also feel like I'm not a preacher. I'm not a theologian. I'm a mom. And I don't want to lead any of you astray. So I try to be very careful when I bring scripture into the conversation because I don't want to misconstrue any of it. So with fear and trepidation, I am going to share scripture and I'm going to share some of the notes that I also have. I am a write in your Bible kind of gal. I'm not a draw in your Bible kind of gal. I'm a writer. So there are lots of scribbles in my Bible. That's where my notes are because I want to be able to open my Bible to any given verse that I have studied previously and see my notes there. So I try to be as concise as I can be. And I try to make the notes very prominent so that I can see them, I can rehash them, I can think about them again. I probably need a Bible that has bigger margins, but I really, really like the feel of a leather Bible. And so I don't have a leather Bible that has very big margins. I also like the Bible to fit in my hand neatly. I am very much a sensory-driven person, and so my Bible has to be a certain way, or it just doesn't feel right in my hands. So I'm going to share with you from Mark 2, because that was where this particular preacher was preaching from. I'm going to kind of recap and then share just a verse toward the end of that section. So basically in Mark, you've got the story of on the Sabbath, Jesus and his disciples going through the grain field and picking the grain. And then he is stopped by the Pharisees. They are condemning him for it. He mentions David eating the bread. And then he expounds upon the Sabbath for them. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Okay, so this is pretty much heresy right here. And honestly, pretty much everything that came out of Jesus's mouth probably sounded like heresy to the Pharisees. So this is no exception. Here he is, you know, just saying, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Just generalized statement. There you go. Boom, mic drop. And I am sure that was just inconceivable to them. So as this pastor was preaching this sermon, he alluded to some other verses, Hebrews 4:3, Hebrews 4:9 and 10, Colossians 2:16 through 17. And he talked about, you know, how the Sabbath was a foreshadowing. And we know that much of what's in the Old Testament foreshadows Jesus. Jesus came to fulfill the law. We know that, or hopefully we know that. And we know that Sabbath keeping is in the Ten Commandments. So yes, it's part of the law. So Jesus has fulfilled this law. When you think about that in light of the other scriptures that I just mentioned, and you read through those, you see Jesus telling us that the Sabbath is a blessing, not a burden. And so I want you to really think about, how does the Sabbath feel to you? Now, I'm not usually a big, you know, what do you feel? I don't want you to go down that road too far, but I do want you to consider, do you feel burdened on Sunday, or do you feel blessed on Sunday? And if Sunday feels like a big fat burden, something's wrong. We need to change how we see Sunday. And honestly, changing how you see Sunday comes from changing how you see the Sabbath itself. Because whether or not you think the Sabbath should be kept on Saturday or Sunday or some other day, you need to see the Sabbath correctly. And what you need to see is that Jesus is our Sabbath rest. Every day is actually a Sabbath because we rest and trust in Jesus for our every need, every single day. So you have to stop seeing the Sabbath as a day and start seeing it as a person. And that's what Jesus was saying in these verses. I gave the Sabbath. I determine what it is. It's a blessing, not a burden. End of story. This same story is told in Matthew 12, but right before that, when you back up into chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The Pharisees had made the Sabbath a list of to-dos. They had made it a burden. I made the Sabbath a burden when I was trying to figure out how to get all the work done, how to have a rest when it seemed like I was too busy being a mom. I was so burdened, like I told you, I became resentful, I became bitter, I was trying so hard to work at keeping the Sabbath that I wasn't resting in the Sabbath, the Lord of the Sabbath. So the verses from Hebrews expound on this even more. Hebrews 4:3 says, "For we who have believed enter that rest." And then in Hebrews 4:9-10, it says, "So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his." We get really caught up in the word works or work when it comes to the Sabbath. We're trying to figure out, you know, what constitutes work. We forget that this is works. This is working at trying to do everything right so that we get into heaven. This is trying to figure out exactly how to keep Sunday or how to keep Saturday or how to get that perfect rest with all the stuff that we're doing. We're working at trying to figure out how to rest when we already have rest. If we have Jesus, we have entered that rest. Sabbath rest is every single day because the Lord is providing for us every single day. We trust the Lord every single day. It is not about what I do, what I don't do, how I do it, what day I choose. It's not about any of that. Certainly, man in general needs to take a break. Absolutely. I will 100% get behind that. But what I cannot get behind is working at trying to have a Sabbath that ends up being a big burden, especially to moms. It seems like we just tend to pile the burdens on top of each other because we're trying to figure out how to rest, but instead we make it worse because we don't ever find that rest. It just doesn't seem to happen. And a lot of that is because of these lovely little blessings God gave us, these children, this family. And so we sit there and we think, man, I would have a great Sabbath rest if I didn't have to change diapers or nurse the baby or feed these kids or break up fights or do any of this stuff. Surely if I did like Ma and Pa Ingalls and made them sit there and do nothing all day, surely that would be very restful. Except guess what you're not doing when you're having your children sit there and do nothing? You are teaching your children that the Sabbath is a burden. You are teaching your children that the Lord expects them to look and act a certain way, and then they will be found worthy in the sight of the Lord. Instead of teaching them that their Sabbath rest comes from Jesus, He fulfilled the law. You can rest from trying to get yourself into heaven with all the little nuanced things you do to try to be perfect. I do not want to teach my children that they need to act a certain way on Sunday before the Lord deems them worthy. I also don't want them to look down their noses at, say, a police officer who is a Christian who works on Sunday. My husband used to be one of those police officers working on Sunday. And I was so grieved because he was like the only person in the small church that we were in who had to work on Sundays. And I thought, oh, I'm sure they're just looking at us like we are the most awful people. And of course, there was this whole thing, well, he's a civil servant. You know, we still have to have those kinds of things. But I still felt less than because my husband worked on Sunday. I also felt less than because I was spending all my time in the lobby taking care of a high needs 3-year-old, or I was dealing with all kinds of different things with the kids. I had a lot of kids, and it seemed like I was just, you know, playing whack-a-mole, trying to figure out who needed what when. I felt chaotic. I felt stressed because I was trying to figure out how to rest. Because there's got to be a how-to rest manual, right? And that wasn't happening. And so changing how I saw Sundays, changing how I saw rest, changing how I saw Sabbath, and seeing the Lord, instead of seeing a list of to-dos, a list of requirements, a list of how to make your Sunday more restful, I found that I could find that rest all day long. Every single day, and it was beautiful. It was like that burden just fell off of my shoulders, literally. I could finally see Sunday as a day of celebration. I was celebrating. I had my children with me. I had my family with me. I wasn't trying to figure out how to selfishly rest. I was trying to figure out, how do we celebrate? How do we make this a joyous occasion? How do my children grow up seeing Sunday as the best day ever? That is what I want for my children. I want my children to see Jesus as their Sabbath rest every day, all day long. I want them to see Sunday as a day of celebrating that Sabbath rest. The literal Sabbath rest, not that they have to take a nap or something like that, but that Jesus saved them. And we are going to celebrate this because, hallelujah, I didn't have to do any work. I didn't save myself. Certainly, my lovely ladies who are listening to this, I do hope and pray that you can find ways to rest. It may be that you need to take little bits every single day. That's what I do. And honestly, on Friday, after we have cleaned in the morning, I also take that day to kind of just unwind, do something different. I really try to just take a break and rest the rest of the day. Now, it's not a rest that feels like it has to look a certain way in order to be right. And I still oftentimes I cook something because I want to, or I work on something for the blog because I want to. It's more of a changing my brain and resting and enjoying what I'm doing as I rest. I remember a pastor, a different pastor than the one who preached that particular sermon, say one time that going to sporting events was restful to him. It was totally different from the rest of his work week, and he loved it. He would go to sporting events and just enjoy that fellowship and that time and just taking a break. His brain was kind of taking a break, and he was not having to do what he did the rest of the week, and that was restful to him. But you may not be able to take an entire day. I know I can't take an entire day, but I also know that Jesus has this. He provides, and he provides me with snippets of time every single day where I can just kind of take a break, do something different. And I do not feel burdened by my faith. I don't feel burdened by rules that I think Jesus has put in place so that I do everything right. I am free. I am blessed, and I am so incredibly thankful that I'm not burdened by those things. So if you were expecting a to-do list from me today about how to make your Sunday better or more restful, or how to change the day of the week that you are taking your Sabbath rest so that you don't worry about Sundays, that's not what you're getting from me today. I want you to see Jesus. I want you to see Jesus as your Sabbath rest. I want you to see Sundays as a celebration of your salvation, and I want you to teach those things to your children. quit making up rules for how to behave and how to do things right and start resting.